I don't even know if I want to preach. Anyway. But maybe what I'm going to preach about this morning is in line. So I'm just going to speak to you a little bit. The message this morning is about letting God lead. And, you know, Cheryl and I are in a very exciting time in our lives right now, going into ministry. We're all in ministry, full-time ministry. Did you know that? We're all ministers of reconciliation. We're ministers of the Lord. We're His witnesses and His disciples. It's a full-time job. Did you know that? We've got another full-time job, and that's as soldiers. We are warriors, and we can't neglect that. Sometimes it's because we don't war enough that the enemy is able to creep in and cause chaos in our lives. Can I hear an amen? So we're quite excited about this, and so I'd rather call it being vocational. We're going into a vocation as pastors, and I thought about it. It's exciting that I'm going to be the lead pastor. It's something that, you know, I don't know. It's good to have ambition in the Spirit, but it's not good to be proud about it. It's good to seek that the Lord will advance us. Amen? You get my heart? Around 20 years ago, we received the first prophecies, and God started directing us, saying that we were going to be pastors. And for many years, even before Pastor Pat approached me, I believe I knew that our calling was here in Christian Heritage. We wouldn't have waited this long. We would have moved on somewhere else if we didn't know that. But it's an exciting time for us. Yet it's a time of fear and trepidation. Because as we get ready, as I prepare, and Cheryl and I have been doing this together, as we prepare, as we pray for God's guidance and direction, there's a massive responsibility. There's a weight that comes on you. Okay? Because we're responsible for our congregation. We're the shepherds. We've got to look after the sheep, and we'll stand account one day. And it's not our job to please people, but to please God. But we will please God as we love our congregation, as we equip our congregation, as we walk in the right way. So that's quite a weight. And what to do? What to do next? I don't want to change things too quickly and everybody runs away because people don't like change. People probably don't even... A lot of people might be struggling with the idea that there's a new pastor that's going to take over the church. Amen? And you can admit that. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm struggling with the idea that there's a new pastor going to take over the church. My own internal struggles. And on Thursday morning, I was feeling this, and my prayer was, Lord, I'm feeling a little bit lost. Because you see, I'm just a human being. It started to get a little bit overwhelming. I thought, well, how am I going to do this, Lord? And I felt the Lord saying this to me, the words on the screen there. Let me lead. Let me lead. So don't worry. I might say I feel a bit lost, but I know who's leading me. I know who I trust, and you know who I trust, and we're going to do this together, church. And we're going to go forward together, and we're going to let God lead. And if we do that, we will get it right. So that, I didn't preach, we don't want to bring this out because of the future. My last message as an associate. I've never thought of myself as an associate. I've always thought of myself as a pastor. You know, since the Lord led that way. We need to let God lead. Zechariah 4 verse 6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. And if we allow the Lord to lead us, we will go forth in His power and His might and in the leading of His Spirit. Because no matter how good I could speak well, I could even try and love you well, I could try and do amazing spiritual exploits, and it might even look good. But without the Holy Spirit there, nothing is going to last. It's all going to fall apart, and I'm going to get tired and exhausted. So are you. So we need the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need the Holy Spirit's leading. So the purpose of this message today, and I'm going to watch the clock there. I might have to just see what I do. The purpose of the message today is to remind us of three things. Number one is to hand control back of our lives, back to God. Some of us are facing circumstances and situations because we have been in control. We haven't let go of the steering wheel. Okay. Secondly, to illustrate what happens when we let God lead. And thirdly, to illustrate what happens when we try to lead. Okay, and I'm not going to preach it in that order. There are five main points I want to make this morning. The first point I want to make is that I need a sip of water. First point I want to make is to neglect asking God to lead us. If we neglect asking God to lead us, it will lead to problems. The Israelites were taking the promised land. They'd moved in and they'd conquered Jericho and Ai. And the people heard about it. And there was fear from the people that were in the land. They were scared of the Israelites. And God instructed the Israelites to destroy all the nations that were there. But the Gibeonites were smart. They managed to deceive the Israelites. And if you've got your Bible here, you can turn with me to Joshua 9. For the sake of time, I'm going to start reading immediately. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. But when the people of Gibeon heard that what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to deception to save themselves. They sent ambassadors to Joshua, loading their donkeys with weathered saddlebags and old patched wineskins. They put on worn-out patched sandals and ragged clothes, and the bread they took with them was dry and moldy. When they arrived at the camp of Israel at Gilgal, they told Joshua and the men of Israel, "We have come from a distant land to ask you to make a peace treaty with us." The Israelites replied to these Hivites, "How do we know that you don't live nearby? For if you do, we cannot make a treaty with you," because God had told them they can't, they were to destroy them. But yet, the Israelites, you see, they were suspicious. They said, "How do we know you don't live nearby?" And these Hivites did, but they had a great disguise, and they managed to fool the Israelites. And the Israelites made a covenant with them. They made an oath to them that they wouldn't destroy them. Now, that was against what God had told them. They broke God's command. Why did it happen? If you go down to Joshua 9 verse 14, you get the answer. So the Israelites examined their food. They checked them out. They did some due diligence, if you would call it that in the commercial world. Some due diligence. But they didn't do the most important thing. They did not consult the Lord. They didn't ask God to lead them. They didn't say, "Let God lead." And because they didn't ask God to lead them, they didn't realize that they were being hoodwinked. So, when they discovered the deception, they couldn't kill them anymore because they'd made them an oath. And God would have taken that very seriously. Even though they'd broken what God had told them to do, their word was their bond, and they knew that. And we can learn from that, church. Our word needs to be our bond. What we say is what we must do. So be very careful what you say. So they couldn't destroy them. And that caused all sorts of problems for them. Because those Gibeonites, which were Hivites, they came and they worked with them. And they worked in their midst. And they brought their wives and their sons and their daughters. And they intermarried. And they brought their false gods. And that was exactly what God was trying to protect the Israelites from. That's why I said destroy all of them. But now they couldn't. Now they couldn't. It caused problems. Can you just imagine the problems over years and years and generations that bad decision of not consulting God made? Neglecting to seek God's leading could result in us being disobedient to God, firstly. Could result in compromise and sin in our own lives. And it could result in us making seriously wrong decisions. Who can put up their hand this morning and say, "I've made some bad decisions"? Who can link those bad decisions to not asking God first? As a church, as a people, as individuals, we need to go and ask God first. Let Him lead. Let us ask Him to lead us. And the question I want to ask you this morning, are the problems we're facing today in our lives maybe because we haven't allowed God to lead us? And do we need to give it to the Lord and ask Him to forgive us and to help us to deal with these problems and ask Him to take over once again? That was my first point. Secondly, we need to realize that not only if we don't go to God will we have problems, but we also need to realize that we've got a God who wants to lead us. Did you know that He wants to lead you? God wants to lead you every day of your life. Every morning, we should get up and say, "Lord, will you please lead me today?" And maybe many of us pray that prayer. Lord, lead me. God wants to lead his people. Think about the Israelites. He led them out of Egypt with a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. He led them. He wanted to lead them out. If you go a bit further back and you look at Abram, God said to Abram this. He said, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will show you where to go. If you go, and that was the beginning. That was the beginning of the Israelite nation. That was the beginning because Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob resulted in Jesus coming. Through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Not just the Israelites, all the nations. And that was because out of that line came Jesus Christ. And all the nations of the earth will be blessed. God wants to lead us, but it will lead to blessing. In my own life, in the calling to the ministry, I said to you early on, 20 years have passed, a long 20 years. I look at myself, I say, I'm 50, I would have liked to go into ministry at 40 when I was stronger, but I'm still strong and I still have God's anointing upon my life. And there were many opportunities where I thought, well, maybe this isn't the time, maybe I must stop working now. Maybe it's time to just go into full-time ministry now. I wanted to. And I went through very difficult times. Pressure at work like you can't believe. And Cheryl will tell you, I'd come home and say, I don't want to go back tomorrow. Would you mind? And we'd actually spoken about it. She wouldn't have minded if I left. But it wasn't God's time. And I asked God to lead. And last year, in April, we went away to Karen and Peter's place at the coast. And an opportunity had come up at work where they were retrenching. And I knew I could apply for retrenchment. And my job wasn't my job was safe. I knew that. We'd already discussed it. I was part of the management team. And my job was safe. And in all reality, they should never have let me go. And I sought the Lord's face. And about the second last day before we came home, the Lord gave me a scripture. And I knew I could go, come home, and apply for retrenchment. And lo and behold, they accepted it because they didn't have to accept it. And I can tell you from that day to this, everything has just fallen into place. There have been some times when it's been, whoo, but God led. Let God lead. Let God lead. That is what He wants us to do. Our God is willing to go ahead of us. But what we've got to do is we've got to let Him go ahead of us. We can't say, Lord, lead, and then we take the lead. If I want God to lead, that means I must be something. What must I be? You get leaders and you get followers. I've got to follow God. I can't lead God and say, God, come on, hurry up. It's not how it works. God has got great plans for our lives. We all know the scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. And I love it out of the New Living Translation for a very real reason. It says this word, disaster. In other words, God doesn't plan disaster for our lives. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster. Is your life a disaster today? Then you need to get in line with God's plan. You need to pray and say, Lord, my life, if I look at it today, it's not in line with what your word says is your plan for me. Because all I can see is disaster. It says, they are plans for good and not disaster to give you a future and hope. God says to you this morning, there is a hope for you. There's a future. I've got a future and a hope for you. But let me lead. Let me lead. Because otherwise when things go wrong, you're going to look to me and say, why? But you need to let me lead. And it takes me to my next point. Who's at the steering wheel of your life? There's a story of a man who asked for God's protection as he drove down the N3 to Durban. Who's done that? Amen? We ask the Lord to give His angels charge of us. Let them go before us and prepare the way for us. And he drove away and he prayed and he felt the Lord's presence and he felt safe and he got on the highway and he thought about Durban, 6 hours, and he put his foot down. And soon he was well over the speed limit. And he's going well and he comes around the corner into a truck. Badly injured, lands up in hospital. And when he comes around, he starts shouting, God, I asked you to lead me. I asked for your angels to take charge over me. And now I had an accident. It's your fault, God. And as he became quiet, he felt the still small voice of the Lord say, I was with you. I even committed my angels over you. But when you started going so fast, even the angels couldn't keep up with you. And that's what we do in our lives. That's what we do in our lives. We ask God to lead us. And we run ahead. And we don't wait for God's leading. It would be disastrous. This happened in the Bible. There's a great example here of Saul, King Saul. He was going to battle. Gee, you know how lucky you just got. I touched the screen and it just jumped down to conclusion. But I'm not finished yet. Saul was going into battle with the Philistines. They come up to against Israel with a massive army. It says there were a number of chariots and horses, but there were so many warriors that you couldn't count them. They were like sand on the seashore. And Saul had 2,000 men, and his son Jonathan had 1,000. And the prophet Samuel had told him to wait in a certain place. He said, wait until I come. Who knows that Samuel was God's representative? He said, wait until I come. And Saul waited, and they waited 7 days, and this army of Saul's, the 2,000, saw this massive army, and they started hiding away in holes and wherever they could, and the army just started dissolving. And Saul saw this happening, and he got worried. And he said, but wait a minute, these guys are going to defeat us. And eventually he said, well, I can't wait for Samuel to come anymore. And he did the sacrifice himself. And he sinned against God right there. Because as he finished, Samuel walked into the camp. He said, listen to these words. He said in 1 Samuel 13:13-14, how foolish. What he said is, you fool. He said, you fool. You have not kept the command of the Lord, the command the Lord your God gave you. Had you kept it, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. Now we all know that Saul's line basically got killed. And they never came back into the line that led Israel. And then he said, but now your kingdom must end. For the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of this people because you have not kept the Lord's command. So what I want to say to you this morning is, church, when Saul made that mistake, it didn't just impact him. It impacted his entire rulership. He would have been established forever. We would have been reading in the Bible, not about David, but about Saul. But now we read about David. Why? Because Saul was too impatient to let God lead. And later on in Saul's life, he made all sorts of other mistakes. But up until that stage, he was doing all right. And God would have given victory even if he had. How many did Gideon have? 300 men. God could have given Saul victory. And in our own lives, when we jump ahead of God, we can impact our entire lives. It's not just about this situation. It's about our whole lives. We need to learn to listen. Last Sunday morning, Shirley preached about listen. We need to listen to God. And we need to say, Lord, I'm listening. Now, will you lead me? Show me. If we ask Him to lead us and we listen, we won't get it wrong. We won't step a foot wrong. We'll face difficulties. We'll face tough times. But God will still be in control. It could be that God has a great plan for our lives. And because we've been impulsive and impatient, we lose out on God's blessings. David was different. Unlike Saul, he sought God all the time. He said, Lord, shall I take them? The Lord said, yes. Can you remember that? Have you read about it? That's what made him such a mighty king. He was, before he was, and I'll preach this, before he was a warrior, he was a worshiper. But let me tell you, before he was a victorious warrior, he was a seeker. He sought God. And that maybe came out of his worship. I worship you, Lord. When we worship God, it's not just about singing. When I worship God, I seek to know Him. I praise Him. I read the Word. It's all worship. But when I say, Lord, will you lead? Isn't that a great acknowledgement of the fact that I'm worshiping God? In Exodus 33, verse 14, it says this. God said this to Moses. God was talking to Moses, and then Moses said this. Moses asked God. He said this in 33:15. Then Moses said, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. Moses understood how important it was that God would lead them. He said, if you don't go with us personally, then rather let us stay here. And look what God replied in verse 14. It actually is what God said to him before that. He said, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest, and everything will be fine for you. Now think about that. I will go with you personally. I will personally go with you. And I will give you rest. Do you know what that rest means? I will give you peace. And everything will be well with you. If we allow God to go ahead, not only will all things go well, but God will give us peace. We need some peace this morning. We need to ask God to go ahead of us. Can I hear an amen? Are you still with me, church? I don't want you to go to sleep. Now, if we've taken things into our own hands and we've rushed ahead of God, we need to also realize this. We serve a gracious God. He's a forgiving God, and He will restore us. Prayed for some people this morning about restoration. And if we go to the Lord and we say, Lord, I'm sorry, I've got this wrong. Will you please forgive me? And will you help me to get my life back in order? I believe God will do that. Who believes God can do that? Who's experienced God giving them a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance and a 100th chance? Amen? So we can go to God and say, God, I made a mistake. I put my foot down in a road ahead of your angels. I went ahead of you. Lord, I want to put my foot on the brake. And I'm going to ask for you to catch up and go ahead. And I will follow you. The fourth point is that God's way is not necessarily the way that seems best to us. And I found a great scripture for that in Exodus 13, verse 17. When Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through the Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. God said, if the people are faced with battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. You see, we may think this is the easiest way. How much easier, how much quicker would they have got to the promised land if they'd just gone straight through Philistine or that area? And it looks logical to us. It seems the right way to us. We'll even argue with God when we think, but Lord, it's this way. You know, I'm an accountant. I think logically. Okay, so when it's logical, I understand it. So I'm always going to take the logical route. But God wants to take us on the illogical route because He knows. He knows what's better for you. He knows what's better for me. He said if these people go there and they have to fight, they might choose to go back to Egypt rather than fight. God knows what's going on in your and my life. We may say, and I'll use an example from this morning. We may say, Lord, I need a job. I need work. And He might say, hang on a second. If you go to that place, the pressure is going to be too great. I actually want you to come and work for me. Okay, it's just a silly example I've just thought of now. Or, I want you to just wait for a while for me to show you that I will provide for you. And then I've got a good job lined up for you later. But I want you to first learn to trust in me as your provider. And then I'll give you employment. I know it's a strange thing. Now, don't all come to us tomorrow morning and say, yes, but the Lord said He will provide for us. We don't have to work. Okay? Because we'll send you off to look for work. But what I'm saying to you is maybe God has allowed you to be in that situation for a time, just for a season, so that you can learn that He's your provider. Amen. God knows better. And the scripture that goes with that is Isaiah 55 verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You see, God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He knows everything. He knows what lays before us. He knows how we will respond, and He knows what is best for us. It's Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6 says, don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in God. It says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek Him in all you do. And He will show you which path to take. He will make your path straight, it says in the other translation. He will show you which path to go. But He can't do that if you're not letting Him lead you. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust God. Trust God. Trust God and let Him lead. But Lord, I know that person. I know how to deal with him. God says, that's not. I've got somebody else who will deal with that person. I want you to deal with this unforgiveness in your life. Go and speak to that person. So that I can bring restoration into your life. You understand what I'm saying? God knows. My fifth point and the final point. Well, before we go there, I want to ask you this morning. Have we possibly chosen the path that seems the easiest? Are we on a path because it was the easiest path? It seemed the right path to us. Have we taken my example, the most logical path? Have we been leaning on what we understand, or have we asked God to lead us in His understanding? It's just a question I want to ask this morning. If not, it's possibly time we ask God to help us change direction. And then finally, letting God lead means we are living by the Spirit. Did you know that? If you let God lead, you're living according to the Spirit. Who'd like to live according to the Spirit? I would. It's very, it's the right way to go. If we live by the Spirit, we won't sin. Galatians 5 verse 25. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. If we're living by the Spirit, we need to follow the Spirit's leading in our work life or our home life. No, in every part of our lives. Part of the fruit of living in the Spirit is following the Spirit's leading. So if you're being led by God, then you can turn that thing around and say, if I'm following the Spirit's leading in every area of my life, then I'm living by the Spirit. Do you understand what I just said? We can test whether we're living by the Spirit by the fact that God is leading us in our lives. Our faith should influence every aspect of our lives as we trust God to lead us. And His Holy Spirit was given to us to enable us to live in a way that pleases Him and to bring us into His perfect will, Jeremiah 29:11, for our lives. I know the plans I have for you. So let us ask Him to lead us in every part of our lives, and He will show us the way in which we should go. Psalm 37 verse 23 says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. 37 verse 23. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. Though he fall, he will not be cast down, because God upholds him in His hands. When we follow the Lord's leading, even if we trip and fall, the Lord will pick us up. So what have I said to you this morning? I said to you our purpose this morning was to hand control of our lives back to God. To illustrate what happens when we try and lead, and to illustrate the blessed life we can live when we allow God to lead. God wants to lead us, but we need to trust Him to lead us and not be impatient and run ahead of His plan for our lives and take things into our own hands. God will not necessarily lead us in the way we expect. We mustn't try and understand our situations on our own. God's ways and His thoughts are higher than us, and His ideas, His vision, His foresight, and His plans are not limited the way ours are. We also have the Holy Spirit in us, which will allow God to lead us if we allow the Spirit to lead us. Then we can know we're living by the Spirit. We need to let go of everything that we, in our own strength, can do and say, Lord, I give it all to You. And how do we do that? By seeking His will for our lives. Matthew 6:33. We know what it means. We know what it says. Seek God first, and then everything will fall into place. We need to seek God first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these other things. So if we seek God, we put Him first, and we say, Lord, let Your Spirit lead me, we will find some of the disaster, some of the problems disappearing out of our lives. We will find ourselves moving to that place where we are living the blessed life that God wants us to live. Stand with me this morning. I'm going to pray, and then Josh, if I can ask you to just play that. I'm going to play a video here, a song you know well. I'm going to pray for us, and Josh is going to play that. And I'm going to ask you, you can sit again once I've prayed. You can sing with, or you can sit and pray, and ask the Lord to lead you. Give Him the things that you need to give Him. Give Him the things that you've been holding back. Give Him your situations that seem to be out of control, and say, well, You lead, Lord, in Jesus' name. I'm going to pray. Father, we thank You this morning that You desire to lead us. Not just that, You came and You spoke powerfully today that You are with us and You want to help us and You want to bless us. I pray, Lord, as we go out of this place, that the cloud of Your glory will go before us and we will follow You and follow Your leading. every step of the way, every day of our lives, everything we do, every decision we make, every motive we have, let us follow your leading. I pray that you will bring about a change in our lives. Let this be an about turn from the lives we're running down, the path that we have set for ourselves. And let us get onto your path and your plan, which is good for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat.